Where does Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott rank among the 32 NFL head coaches? Former Bills player Ross Tucker slotted him at 22, and he's here to discuss that with me today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, also the co-host of the Locked On NFL Scouting Podcast, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Want to thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day, and a big welcome to our everydayers. You know who you are. Those of you who never miss a single episode, I appreciate y'all being here very, very much. Also, please be sure to subscribe or follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Well, folks, I am very excited for our podcast today. In just a moment, I'll be joined by Ross Tucker, former Buffalo Bills player. He's the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he made waves in the world of the football community on social media when he released his ranking of the NFL head coaches, and he put Sean McDermott at number 22. And he is going to join me here for a conversation about that and really unpack why he put him in that spot. And so that's coming your way here in just a moment. I do want to give you the full list here of how he ranked the coaches up to Sean McDermott, so you can have that as a foundation entering our chat. So he had it this way. Number one, Andy Reid. Number two, Bill Belichick. Number three, Mike Tomlin. Number four, Sean Payton. Number five, Nick Sirianni. Number six, Kyle Shanahan. Number seven, Sean McVay. Number eight, Brian Daboll. Number nine, Pete Carroll. Number 10, Doug Peterson. 11, John Harbaugh. 12, Zach Taylor. 13, Mike Vrabel. 14, Mike McDaniel. 15, Kevin O'Connell. 16, Dan Campbell. 17, Matt LaFleur. 18, Arthur Smith. 19, Ron Rivera. 20, Brandon Staley. 21, Mike McCarthy, and 22, Sean McDermott. And so if you're curious as to why Sean McDermott is 22 for him, well, stick with me as we continue this conversation. Ross Tucker will be here to defend his position on Sean McDermott. But first, make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. What do I love about placing my bets over at FanDuel? Well, it's safe and secure, easy to use. You get paid instantly, and they have awesome promotions every day. So much that you can get in on. They've got, of course, the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. MLB is in full swing. They got prop bets. So much fun stuff to get in on. So there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. So visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get that no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. I'm joined now by Ross Tucker, former Buffalo Bills offensive lineman and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can check him out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, welcome, and I appreciate you joining me here today.
It is my pleasure, Joe. A big fan of what you guys have been doing over the last few years. And yeah, I mean, I think it's been about a week now that I've been getting crushed by Bills fans. So I'm glad I have a place to finally be able to defend myself a little bit.
Well, I greatly appreciate you making yourself available for this conversation. Obviously something that I'm eager to learn more about your position, but I got to start with this. You know, you wore jersey number 65. And as you know, through our correspondence here, getting ready for this conversation, that I've got a 65 in my email address, which is reflective of my high school football jersey number, which was 65. And I got to tell you, Ross, I was devastated my senior year. I had been 75 my entire like middle school, high school. And I wore that because I loved Marcellus Wiley.
Oh, okay.
And so my senior year of high school was your first year on the Buffalo Bills. And so 65 was your number. And of course, because I grew up a Bills fan, I had the, you know, who was 65 on the Bills? It was none other than Ross Tucker. So I always felt very connected to you throughout my my youth growing up there. And obviously you and Drew Bledsoe and the guys in the early 2000s.
Well, that's awesome, first of all. And I noticed in your email or whatever that 65 was in there. It's in my email too, yeah. Because it was my college number. And then, as you referenced, it was my number with the Bills, which is my favorite team I played for. So, yes, we have that number 65 kinship. That's a great story. And for sure, numbers are a really big deal. 55 for me in high school was a really big deal. And then I actually played defensive end as a freshman at Prince. I was number 99, which was pretty cool. And then started at guard the last 3 years at 65. NFL, I had four or five numbers, but it worked out that my favorite team I played for, the team I played for the most, the Bills in 03 and 04 that you referenced, I was 65, which is great. So I still kind of look at that as being my number. That was my uncle's number when he played in college. So that's awesome. I love hearing that story, Joe.
Well, there we go. It's a number that means something to the both of us. And a number that I think is going to mean a lot to the people listening to this conversation is 22, because that's where you ranked Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott. You put out a recent article for the 33rd team ranking all the NFL head coaches. And I think you surprised a lot of people by slotting Sean McDermott at number 22. I will tell you, Ross, I read the lead of the article, so I get some grace from you there. I did the thing that you thought a lot of people wouldn't do. I read the entire thing, so I come prepared to talk about this today. But just as we get started here, curious, what are those key contributing factors that led you to putting McDermott at 22? I mean, he's just above the first-year head coaches and guys that are surely on the hot seat.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing I would tell you, it's a really interesting exercise to do, right, Joe? Because you're going through it, and I don't know. I think there's 25 coaches that I would say I think are pretty good coaches. I mean, I have Stefanski, 23, took the Browns to a playoff game and won one with Baker Mayfield as his quarterback. Frank Reich, 24. I think Frank Reich's a pretty good coach, you know? Even Robert Saleh, 25, I think is pretty good. Now, 26, 27, 28, 29, I don't know that you could call those guys good coaches, Bowles and Allen, Eberflus and McDaniels. And then the new guys were the last three. But if it makes Bills fans feel any better, you know, I have Mike McCarthy, who won a Super Bowl and was 12-5 the last 2 years at 21. I've got Brandon Staley, who, you know, two winning seasons, made the playoffs last year at 20. Although I will say this, Brandon Staley seemed to be the one that bothered a lot of Bills fans. And the more I thought about it, I kind of agree with him. Like, I kind of think I should have McDermott ahead of Staley. I really do. But that doesn't really matter, right? That part of it. The what matters is that I don't think McDermott's in the top half of the league. And I'll tell you why, Joe. There's several different reasons. And actually, you know what? We'll start with this. Let's play a game, okay? Who do you think, Joe, are the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, or even just the three best quarterbacks in the AFC?
I think it's Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen. I think those are your three best quarterbacks.
Okay. So I think Mahomes has been to what? Six straight conference championship games? Is that right? Five or six, something like that?
Every year since he's been a starter. Yes.
So that's what, six or five?
I think it's six.
Okay. And he's been to three Super Bowls and he's won two of them.
That's right.
All right. Joe Burrow has been healthy for two seasons. He has two conference championship game appearances and one Super Bowl appearance. Josh Allen has been healthy and the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills for 5 years. He has one conference championship game appearance and zero Super Bowls. Joe, something's not right there, right? Like, you, without any hesitation, you said Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen. And I agree with you. And even if you want to say that the fourth best quarterback in the NFL this past year was Jalen Hurts, Hurts has 2 years as a starter. And he's got one championship game victory and one Super Bowl appearance. McDermott's won a lot of games. I think he deserves credit for that. But when you're doing an exercise on best coaches, to me, it's not about just their win-loss record. It's what have they done with what they have? And Sean McDermott has had one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the world for 5 years, certainly 4 years. And he's only gotten to one conference championship game and no Super Bowls. I have a problem with that, Joe, because you get to that point in the season, a lot of that is coaching. And let's talk about it, okay? So one of the reasons why they haven't gotten to more conference championship games, in my opinion, is because of some of the losses they've had that have hurt their seeding in the playoffs. A couple years ago, they lose to the Jags, the Urban Meyer Jags. Are you kidding me? This past year, they lose to the Jets. I don't know. Was that Mike White or Zach Will? I don't even know who it was. But that was not a Jets team that you can lose to if you're serious about the Super Bowl. People will say, oh, Andy Reid lost to the Colts. Okay, fair enough. Seems like it happens more often with the McDermott-led Bills. But what really bothers me, and you got to understand, Joe, the Bills are my favorite team that I played for. I really only have an affinity kind of for two teams, right? I have an affinity for the Eagles because I work for them and I grew up an Eagles fan outside of Philly, and the Buffalo Bills. I love the Buffalo Bills. My favorite team of the five I played for. I love the people up there. What I think I have, Joe, I think I have higher standards maybe than you guys do. Like, rather than getting defensive and feeling like someone's taking a shot at your quarterback, at your head coach, maybe look at it and say, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe McDermott is getting outcoached in these playoff games. Maybe he can't get us over the hump. Maybe our roster has been good enough with one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the world, with one of the two or three best receivers. I mean, let's go through it, okay? Joe, off the top of my head, that first year in the playoffs, weren't they beating the Texans by a lot and then they blew it?
They're up 18 at halftime.
Yeah. It's not real good, Joe, okay? The next year, okay, they win a couple playoff games and they get to the conference championship game, totally got smoked and did not feel like they were prepared for that conference championship game. Agreed?
Yeah, the Chiefs were better. There's no question.
That game was not competitive. That game was disappointing because the Bills were every bit as talented as the Chiefs that year. And I felt like the Chiefs ran circles around him in that game. Then let's get to 2021. Okay? You're in there in Kansas City. You have the lead. Was it 12 seconds left? 15 seconds left?
13, Ross. 13.
Yeah. Joe, you got to squib kick it. You cannot kick a touchback in that situation. You got to squib kick it and take some time off the clock. If you do that, yes, there's some small percentage chance they return the kick for a touchdown. Yeah, very small. You got to take the time off the clock. I have broadcast a lot of these playoff games. I broadcast both of them last year, Joe. They almost lost to Skylar Thompson and the Miami Dolphins at home. That game was 34-31. Skylar Thompson, Joe, at home, 34-31. You can't tell me that McDermott and the Bills were not outcoached in that one. And then forget the Bengals game. I was on the sideline. You want to talk about a coaching mismatch? How about Joe Burrow? The game was in the snow in Buffalo. This is a great opportunity for the Bills. And they got destroyed, embarrassed in the snow in Buffalo. Joe Burrow, I'm on the sideline, knew where to go with the ball before he got it every time. I mean, that ball was out, Joe, within 2 seconds. Josh Allen was back there patting the ball, looking around, didn't know where to go. They got thoroughly outcoached. So what I'm telling you now is look at Josh Allen compare and what they've accomplished with him compared to Burrow, compared to Mahomes, even compared to Jalen Hurts last year. Look at the playoff losses, 2019, 2020, 2021, and even both playoff games, 2022. That is five playoff games where I believe Sean McDermott was outcoached. So that's it. That's how I feel. And you can look at it and say, I mean, look, the Packers fans are mad that I have LaFleur 17th. He's done more. Arthur Smith, how is Arthur Smith? You know why? Do I think Sean McDermott would have gone 7-10 with the Falcons the last 2 years? No, not really. Do I think Arthur Smith would have done what McDermott did with Josh Allen the last 4 years? Yeah, and then some, and then some. So that's where I'm at. That's how I feel. And I'm sure you're going to come at me with whatever. He's 62 and 35 or blah, 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 blah. I don't really care. I think you guys, as Bills fans, need to start to hold the coaching staff and the entire organization to a higher standard. You've got one of the two or three best players in the sport in his prime, and you're not accomplishing nearly as much as what his peer group is.
Ross, I think you have a firm platform for where you're coming from. And I'll be honest with you, listening to it, it sounds like some of this comes from frustration, where you want more for the team. And you shared that you had an affinity for the Bills. You enjoyed your time with the Bills. I mean, how much does that influence the way that you're coming at this conversation? Frustration?
I mean, probably part of it. But and I think that's what's really interesting about it. And maybe it's like, so like in Philadelphia, where I'm from, that's how they would talk about Sean McDermott, right? Like how I just did. But I'm not saying one way is right or wrong, Joe. I'm just saying I think it's time for Bills fans to raise their expectations and feel like, you know what? He's kind of right. We did get outcoached in those five playoff games. Like, he's kind of right. In 5 years as a starter, Josh has been to one conference championship game. At what point do you look at those and say, you know what? Maybe part of the reason why we're falling short is coaching. Maybe a big part of it. Look, I got Mike McCarthy at 21. The guy's 12-5 last year. The guy's won a Super Bowl. But I'm going, Joe, by what these guys are dealt. Mike McCarthy had Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre the whole time in Green Bay. He had a top five quarterback, went to one Super Bowl. Even the last 2 years, the Cowboys have had really good teams. He can't get to a conference championship game. I put a lot of stock, I think, in how you coach and how you perform as a coach in the playoffs, and also what you do with what you have. Ron Rivera is 19th. He's been 500 the last few years with like terrible Heineke and Wentz and like these guys. Are you kidding me? Right? Arthur Smith, I mentioned. LaFleur. Okay, yeah, he got to a couple of conference championship games, but he had the MVP of the league for 3 years and they weren't able to get to a Super Bowl. You know, guys like Mike McDaniel, Kevin O'Connell. It's only 1 year, Joe, but it's a pretty darn good year. I mean, do I think if Sean McDermott was the coach of the Dolphins last year, do I think Tua would have been an MVP candidate? What do you think would have happened, Joe, if before that Dolphins-Bills playoff game, if they flipped coaches? You think it would have been 34-31 Bills?
You can make a case that McDaniel probably cost them that game in a lot of ways with not knowing the down and distance for the short yardage play when they had a chance at a game-winning drive. I mean, his inability to get the run game going and use the ancillary components of the offense, a lot of procedural issues with the Dolphins last year.
Certainly that was horrible. I'm glad you brought that up. That was horrible. My point is this, though. If Mike McDaniel's the head coach of the Dolphins in that game and Sean McDermott's the head coach of the Bills in that game and McDermott's the coach of the Dolphins, I don't think the game is close.
Let me ask
Kevin O'Connell in 1 year and Minnesota won what, 13 games, 14 games? Do I think McDermott would have won 13 or 14 games with Kirk Cousins in the NFC North? No, I don't. So that's how, I mean, that's kind of how I judged it, right? Like, yeah, what have these guys done? And what do I think the other guy would? I'm not saying McDermott's a bad coach. He's not a bad coach. I just think he has been greatly helped by the roster that Brandon Bean has put together in general, and in particular, Josh Allen. I mean, I think McDermott's very fortunate that they drafted Josh Allen. If they didn't, honestly, I think McDermott's best coaching job was probably his first year when they made the playoffs with, was that Fitz? Who was it that made the playoffs that year?
Is one of the follow-ups I had for you about Ty, it was the 2017 year Tyrod Taylor's a quarterback, got benched midseason for Nathan Peterman. They still go to the playoffs. People accused the Bills of tanking that year, got them to the postseason. I'd even argue 2019 Josh Allen, that was before he really arrived as, you know, one of the elite quarterbacks. So two out of three seasons where he didn't have elite caliber quarterback play, still a playoff team.
Yeah, I think 2017 is really impressive for McDermott. 2019, a little bit less so. That was Josh's second year. But you're right, Josh wasn't what he became in 2020 and after that. And I think that's probably McDermott's best argument. I guess what I would tell you is it's sort of like your whole body of work matters. But what you've done most recent is what's in my mind the most. So it's like a weighted scale, right? Where everything you've done matters, but 2022 matters the most. 2021 a little bit less, 2020 a little bit less than that, because it is sort of a what have you done for me lately, Lee.
Ross, I have a follow-up question I want to sneak in here, but I know that you have a really cool concept here for a Father's Day gift. It's right around the corner here. A great idea. Why don't you share that with the people?
Well, it's funny, Joe. I appreciate you mentioning it because it's a buddy of mine that started the company. It's called, gosh, I always forget. I could have had it right here with me right now. It's called myfrontpagestory.com. It looks like it's on the cover of the Buffalo News. So, well, here's what I know, Joe. Everybody's dad, for the most part, loves the newspaper. And I know newspapers are dying, blah, 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 but your dad loves it. So get him the front page treatment he deserves, you and your siblings, or maybe you're getting it for your husband or whoever, right? They talk to one of their professional writers. They write the most unbelievable story about how awesome your dad is. It's framed with pictures of your dad and your mom or your dad and the siblings and you. I mean, my mom, my sister and I gave one to my mom. And when she saw the quote from my sister, like, I wouldn't be the woman I am today if it weren't for my mom. My mom just started bawling, just bawling. So highly recommend it for dads. They will love it. They'll put it up in their study or in their office. Nobody ever knows what to get their dad. I mean, how many times are you going to get him like a Tim Hortons gift card? You know what I mean? Like, change it up a little bit. Get him a story from myfrontpagestory.com. Trust me, myfrontpagestory.com.
Ross, let me ask you this here, because I want to know how much credit you think Sean McDermott does get. And here's the part you knew I was going to throw at you. Over the last four seasons, he's 47-18, three consecutive AFC East titles. They've won a playoff game in each of the last three seasons. I know that the last game of the postseason has been disappointing, but there's only one other team in the league that can say they've won a postseason game each of the last 3 years. That's the Chiefs. Bills have made the playoffs five of the last 6 years after missing it 17 years in a row. Last year, they lost three games by a combined 8 points in the regular season. A lot of adversity last season. Like, how much credit does Sean McDermott get? And I'll sneak this in. Is, in your mind, should he be on the hot seat? Like, what does he have to do this year for you to think that he should continue as the Bills head coach?
Well, first of all, those are all tremendous stats, and it's why I think McDermott's a good coach. So that's the thing. Like, I think there's like 24 good coaches. I really do. I mean, that's the problem with a list. For the most part, if you're a bad coach, you get fired. You know what I mean? Like, and these guys at the bottom of my list, they're all probably almost on the way out, right? Because you just don't last very long if you're not winning. And Sean McDermott's been winning. I think the AFC East has really been down the last 3 years. I mean, the Jets have been a joke. The Dolphins have not been great. The Patriots are not the Patriots without Tom Brady. So I think it's great that they won the division the last 3 years, but it hasn't been a very good division. It hasn't been a very impressive division to me. I think the wins and losses, 47-18, very impressive. I think the three losses by 8 points last year is impressive. They did have adversity that they needed to overcome without any question, although, you know, there's a really decent chance that would have been another loss, right? That game in Cincinnati for in terms of his record and all that stuff. And then they might not even have had that home playoff game against the Bengals where they got smashed by Cincinnati at home. I think he deserves a lot of credit. I'll say this. I think this is a big year for him. Big year for him. At some point, Pegula is going to think, I got to get over the hump, and I'm not sure this guy can get us there. And I'm not saying that Sean McDermott's on the hot seat, but I'm saying at a minimum, you better not go the other way. I mean, the Jets are going to be tough. The Dolphins are going to be tough. If the Bills start to go the other way, then there's going to be some interesting conversations there in Buffalo. Even if they're not able to get back to a conference championship game again, I think Terry Pegula is going to have to ask himself some really tough questions. And again, that's not a knock on Sean. Maybe he's just a good coach that can't get him over the hump. Maybe he's just not a great coach. Because it feels like the other guys he's going against, Andy Reid, Zach Taylor, I mean, I would take those guys over McDermott. I mean, from what I've seen, especially in the playoffs the last couple of years, he's not as good as those guys.
How much of this do you feel like it's reminiscent of Andy Reid in Philly? I know that he went to more conference championship games for sure, but like that was the same type of deal with him. It's like, he can't get him over the hump. He gets run out of Philly, goes to Kansas City. Well, he gets Pat Mahomes and, you know, they have all the success that they're having.
Yeah, that's interesting, except Sean McDermott already has Pat Mahomes. His name's Josh Allen. I mean, I know Andy had McNabb, who was a good player as well during that run. And maybe that's the other thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we have to start to ask some tough questions in Buffalo if they don't break through next year. Maybe people will say that it's Josh Allen. I don't see that. I see a team that has been outcoached a lot in these playoff games. And I think that is where, look, let's put it this way. If I was doing the quarterback rankings, I wouldn't have Josh Allen 22. I'd have Josh Allen like 2 or 3, you know? I mean, so I don't think it's Josh Allen that's going to be leaving if Buffalo takes a step back this year.
All right, folks. He's Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, I greatly appreciate you coming in here, bringing up some good points, challenging our thinking, and defending yourself. It's been really cool to listen to you.
Yeah, likewise, Joe. I appreciate the platform, and you made some really good points. And you know, maybe I could have him a couple spots higher, but honestly, like I still don't think I would have him that much higher. So I still think he kind of is where he is.
All right. Well, look, it's another year. We'll see if he meets those expectations, but. I mean, in reality is if there's another disappointing playoff exit, the Bills don't get to at least the championship game or the Super Bowl, I think that you're going to have a lot more people aligning with you. But going from 17 years in a row of no playoffs to McDermott, and you get there 5 or 6, you're winning the division, you're doing things you hadn't done since the 90s, you could see how Bills Mafia has a lot of defense for their head coach.
Totally, totally get it. This is like the best era since the 90s. And I was there during the drought. And I still think about that stupid Steelers game, week 17 of 2004, all the time. It's top 5 worst loss in my life. Thanks for bringing it up, Joe.
Let's close it. What your favorite memory as a Buffalo Bill? We can't leave on that. Nobody wants to hear about that Steelers loss to their backups.
Trying to think. I mean, it definitely would have been that year. Well, actually, it was pretty cool. My first game for the Bills, we beat the Patriots 31-0.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. But then trying to think which game what it was during that six-game winning streak when it really felt like we had it rolling. I mean, honestly, it was really just that whole streak. It wasn't one specific game. But when we went from 3-6 to 9-6, you win six in a row, Joe, you're like on top of the world, man. And it wasn't any one game. It was just this feeling that we were as good as anybody. Probably that game in Cincinnati, coldest game of my life, when Peters had the block punt for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Tequio took it the other way. Because the Bengals were like, they were like 8-7 maybe, or 8-6. Like, they were pretty good. So that was a tough one for us. That was a big one for us to know that, hey, we got a real shot at this thing.
Ross, I appreciate it. This has been more than I could have asked for. So thanks for coming on, and we'll get you out of here, and maybe we'll get to talk about this again real soon.
Anytime, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ross. All right, folks. That was an awesome conversation with Ross. Certainly very thought-provoking for me. I'm sure it was for you as you listened to it. And something for us to keep in mind as we consider this team and the expectations, and if they don't meet those expectations, how we should respond. And so I hope you enjoyed this conversation, and I hope that you'll come back tomorrow as we continue talking Buffalo Bills football all year long. We are a daily podcast on the Bills that doesn't change, whether it's in the middle of the season or in the middle of the summer or wherever point of the calendar that we're at. So as always, I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review. Have a great rest of your day. Go Bills, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.